This morning's scripture is Colossians 2, 2 through 8. This morning's message is entitled, I Believe or Believe. Let's go to the Word of the Lord. This is scripture out of the New International Version. So if you brought your Bibles, they may not say the exact same thing, but they're very, very close. Again, this is Colossians 2, 2 through 8. And let's go to the Lord in His Word. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding and arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the element of spiritual forces of this world rather than in Jesus Christ. I want to read you that second or that very last piece of scripture, and you'll hear it again today in our message. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than in Christ Jesus. Friends, this morning's message is all about what you believe. Do you believe? What do you believe? Can you believe? Do you have the ability to believe? And why do you believe it? Let's discuss this for a second. Now, we're not going to answer all those questions in this message. If we were, we'd have to feed you lunch. But we are going to answer a few of them. Okay? Believing is not just the act of affirming some fact, giving the right answer on a final exam that gets us where we want to be or allows us to pass a test or receive a certification. You know, everybody's been a student, and when you cram for a test, you cram to pass the exam. If you were quizzed or examined 5 weeks later, could you pass it? That's not belief. Believing is not just learning or memorizing and repeating some magic word. Believing is not just reading the scriptures or the doctrine so that all will be made right in your world, so that you think you can make it to heaven by what you have read and simply tried to comprehend. Believing is deeper than that. Each of us has some type of belief that shapes our own reality in this world, because those things shape our lives independently. As an individual, as a couple who is married, as a family, we are shaped by what we believe. For instance, if you believe that you're 7.5, 8 feet tall, you would simply duck every time you go through a door. You would do it instinctively because you believe you're that tall. If you believe that the world is a tragic place that's nothing but rotten, it's bad, it's dangerous, If you believe those things, you will not face life every day as you currently do. In fact, you would withdraw and live like a hermit. If you truly believed that we were that way. If you believe that money is the most important thing in your life, you will organize your life around getting that money, or receiving that money, or saving that money. To believe in Jesus Christ, though, is quite simple. As Christians, we should embrace the Holy Word, what we read. We not only should we read it, we should embrace it. That it is fact, not fiction. It is fact, regardless of what the world is telling us today. Scripture is our rule, not just our guide. That means we embrace the words that we hear out of our Bible every day that we read it. You see, as we study that word on those daily basis, we share in the word. When we study it, we share it with God. It shapes our lives and our beliefs. We then learn through Him, and those beliefs also shape our lives, but also our family's lives. You see, Jesus really is the one who has shown us the truth. He's actually shown us what reality is. He endured it. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the reality. It's not that the reality that we see every day, that we know is factual, that should not shape our faith and what we believe. Now the problem is that it does. Our reality of what we see in this world without our study begins to shape our lives. So we actually live based on reality, not based on scriptural fact. That's very scary. And all around us, as Christians, all around us, we're in a bubble. And the whole world seems to be shaping its belief about reality. And we're trying to live in faith. Believing actually began with God. God knew we were so broken that He had to send His only begotten Son to save us. He had to fracture that reality so that we could see the truth. God acted in Jesus Christ to make Himself known. In making Himself known to us, God has shown us what is real and true about life. Look at some of the things that God has shown us through Jesus. God again loved us enough to reach out to us in a very costly way. As I look at a lot of familiar faces this morning, I ask you who have children and grandchildren, which one do you want to give up today? Which one do you want to share with the world so that they believe? Liam's here this morning. I can assure you that if you ask his mother and father and his grandparents this morning, they're not giving him up. But God gave Jesus to us. God made us whole through the gift and power of Jesus Christ. Even when all the powers that nailed Jesus to the cross tried to deny His power, through the crucifixion His power was revealed, and even more so in the resurrection. But there's a promise that comes with our belief. If a person can really believe these things and live as if they live in truth and life and the Word, if you live in those things, and that's what Scripture tells you. It says to live in Jesus Christ, not walk with Him, walk in Him. Be like Him. If you live like that, you will experience wondrous things in this world, and you shall, Scripture says, experience eternal life, both actually in this world and in the next. It's not easy to believe. If I take you back in Scripture, we all know the stories, but one of the most famous ones was Thomas when he's talking to Jesus after the resurrection. Thomas was one of Jesus' most committed disciples, but he too questioned. It was hard for him to believe again after Jesus had been crucified. The world wasn't coming to an end. He wanted to believe because he walked with him in his ministry. He alone among all the disciples had understood the following of Jesus Christ. He saw the miracles. He witnessed them. He was present. He participated. He lived with him. But after all the world came down onto the crucifixion. They crucified our Savior, and Thomas witnessed that. And in that crucifixion, he saw the crushing of what his belief was by the cruel powers of the world. And he had seen himself and the other disciples forsake Jesus at the same time. His life at that moment was in crisis. Many of our lives are in crisis. Many of our friends are in crisis because they cannot see what Thomas saw. Thus, bad experiences can undermine our confidence and make it hard for us to keep trusting. Friends, we live in a world that relishes in its own belief and culture. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say our church does the same thing. Not our little church at Bethel, but the world's church. The culture is based on beliefs that are contrary to the things that God has shown us in Scripture. Our culture tells us that money and power are really the substantial things that support us in our life. You know, my dad used to say, "Son, you don't ever see a Brinks truck or a U-Haul following a hearse. So you can have all the money in the world. You can have all the wealth you got. You can muster up. It's not going to get you to heaven." But that's what we believe sometimes. You know, we believe that the more we have, the better we will be. It teaches us, this world teaches us that there's no such thing as sin. Look at the acceptance that we have this day in society. What we say, well, okay, you know, I mean, if that's the way they want to do it, that's what we say. The concept of loving and living as Jesus did, well, let's just say that we don't practice that very well. The world will do its best to disprove your belief. Make no mistake. And your faith in Jesus Christ, it will do its best to disprove that faith. Absolutely living, waking up every morning, putting your shoes on the floor, putting your feet on the floor, lacing up your shoes and trying to get your day started, that's a constant battle. Maybe it's my age. Maybe I'm living in the wrong generation. But life wants to shape you contrary to the evidence found in Scripture. The more I study Scripture, the more I realize we're living outside of it. That's very scary to me. The Scriptures prove that here was a man we all know as Jesus. He lived. He was born, he lived, he ministered, he died. He went to hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. all for you and me. And before he left, he gave us a gift. That is historical fact. The whole account of his life is historical fact. But the world wants you to believe something different. The first letter of John, if you remember in your study of Scripture, was written after Jesus' crucifixion. John said these words. I tell you that in every age, including your own, there have been and there will be people who have lived and are currently living as God is alive. And as if the things that Jesus demonstrated are true and they have experienced life in its fullness. These people John speaks about live as if Jesus is living today. They live in Him. They believe in Him. And they act, speak, walk accordingly. They are living in their faith. They are living in their belief. Now, when John wrote these words, he was speaking about a group of people. This morning, I'm looking at those people. It is us, the Christian, believing that Jesus is the Savior. He's the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is our hope, the one who shows us the truth. All that, friends, requires a commitment that we must give. In my Sunday school, which I miss desperately, we have great discussions. And Libby Smith always says, when I bring something up like this, well, now hang on. You got to believe. You got to accept. And she is so right. Belief and acceptance is commitment. And it takes commitment every single day in Jesus to live in this crushed, wrecked world. Commitment requires us to put away all of our bitter experiences and reject all that life's propaganda has to offer. It requires us to venture out on trust. That's tough. It requires us to be willing to be different. That's tough. But if we do those things, it also promises that through believing, you can have life, a real life, an eternal life, here and in heaven. I'm a big fan of modern day Christian music. I listen to it every day, and the reason I do is because the world smacks you in the face when you get up in the morning. You can have a great day, you can be drinking your first cup of coffee, read something in the paper, and the next thing you knew, or next thing you know, you're upset because the world just smacked you right in the face. Anyway, I listen to this Christian music generally on my way to work, on my way home. It's modern day Christian music. Sometimes they play old hymns, sometimes they play modern music. But there's a song that has struck me for the last several months as I listen to it. They play it a lot, but they don't play it often enough. The title of that song is Less Like Me. These are some of the words. Oh, I have days I lose the fight. Try my best, but just don't get it right. Well, I talk a talk, but I don't walk. I miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, I miss the moments right before my eyes. Oh Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, and a little less like me. In closing, I call your attention to this morning's scripture reading. It says in 6 through 7, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and establish in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's what Scripture tells you. Just as you have received Christ, walk in Him. Think about this simple statement. How does one receive Christ Jesus? Is it by our works? Is it by our money? Is it by our actions? Is it by our deeds? Not at all. We receive Him by grace through faith. Paul says, the same way you receive Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him that way. It doesn't cost you a thing, folks, to receive the gospel. It doesn't cost you a thing. It doesn't require you to build anything. It doesn't require you to represent anything. It doesn't require you to do a thing. But believe and be accepting of His word. How many times have you heard someone say, I've been walking with the Lord for years? Well, walking with Him is one thing. Walking in Him is another. We don't walk with Jesus. We walk in Jesus. And when we walk in Jesus, we act like Jesus. When we act like Jesus, we are blessed from Jesus Christ. Do you remember in the story when the angel appeared to Mary and gave her the news that she was carrying our Lord and Savior? Mary did what? You remember? She questioned. And she said, how can this be? Our question is the same today. How can we walk in Jesus? How can Jesus be born in and grow in me? How can I walk in Him? You see, when God left this world, when Jesus left this world, He gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which makes Christ real in our lives today. Just as real, friends, as Jesus' physical body was real to Mary in the womb. As Mary carried Him and Jesus lived in His mom, His earthly mother, we too live much the same. When Christ left this earth, He gave us that gift. The Holy Spirit, which lives inside of our soul, it dwells within us so that we can believe in the Word, live in the Word, live in Christ Jesus. We have an opportunity this day and the days to come. We live in the same world this morning as we had when we went to bed. How we impact that world as an individual, as a family of faith, as a church, is we purposefully live as Jesus is living. If we do that, we will be blessed abundantly. Friends, purposely live as if you believe that Christ Jesus is living this day. We know He does, and it is a struggle for us because we can't physically hold on to Him. But you are spiritually, and regardless of what most think, you are physically attached to Him through your faith, through your love, through His grace, His mercy, and His hope. Purposely live as if you believe. Amen.